The information presented is for informational purposes only. The opinions expressed are not necessarily the opinions of any Daikin company. This information should not be confused for accounting, legal, medical, or other professional advice. Please seek advice from a qualified professional for any specific questions.
Welcome to the Accelerated HVAC Success Program. My name is Ben Middleton. I'm the National Sales Training Manager for the Goodman, Amana, and Daikin brands. Today, we're joined here with Matt Molesky. He is the head business coach for Coach, Train, and Motivate. Matt, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. Glad to be here.
So first question we ask every single guest that comes on here, how in the world did you find yourself in the HVAC industry?
Well, you know, it's kind of a crazy story to begin with. I was actually a school teacher, and I was bartending at night, moonlighting at night, and a guy approached me in the bar and just basically said, you know, we're looking for guys like you. Come to find out back then, it was the district manager, a guy by the name of Kevin Comerford, who was overseeing his center up there where I was working, taking his managers out to dinner. And so one thing led to another. He set up an interview for me for that local company. Seemed like at the time, a better way that I could make more money, even though I loved being a teacher. And they hired me on as a maintenance tech and kind of cut my teeth with IEQ sales. And they recognized that and got me into training other technicians. And before you knew it, I was a general manager. And it's been history since then. That was almost 25 years ago.
So you've been in the industry for a long time. You've worked with contractors all over North America.
Yes, sir.
You and I have been talking over the last couple of days. One of the things, it was interesting, you're talking to me, you did a program for us last year where we were rolling out the Goodman side discharge product, and you were doing a sales and application course. Interesting, when we talk about our industry, you know, airflow is really important. Sizing equipment's really important. What are you finding as you're going out and talking to selling technicians and comfort advisors in terms of, you know, how are they sizing equipment today? How are they looking at airflow?
Actually, I don't know. I think it's been about 15 different classes all throughout the United States and every region. I was completely shocked at the knowledge, or I should say lack thereof knowledge in those two particular areas. I mean, even going through my own comfort advisor training way back 20-something years ago, they taught me how to do a heat load, and they talk about air, what they call the air distribution. Mm-hmm. And did I apply it over the years? Probably not so great, you know? And so when I started doing these classes, understanding that the side discharge unit is, you know, very important that it's sized properly, and then even probably more important that we have proper airflow going through the unit. Most, I'd say 95% of the people that participate in those classes either knew of a heat load, but have not really performed them. Majority of them had never even performed one. And then when I talked about airflow and distribution, I was just even more shocked, because it was like, you know, I'd say, okay, we have this certain size room. How much CFM does it need? And what size duct would we put in there? You know, and I got the same answers across the entire country. I'll put a 6, I'll put a 7, or no, we put an 8. And I was like, well, which one? And no one, then the room goes silent. You know, it was just like, well, how do you know? Well, there's physics to that. And there's, you know, there's kind of rules for that kind of thing. So it just became sort of a passion for me now, because it's like, I see where the industry is going, particularly with Daikin and Amana and Goodman and the side discharge and the inverter technology, which is where this is paramount. And if we can't get our people, our trade, to grab a hold of that and have a clear understanding, it's just going to create a lot of problems for them as they're trying to install this stuff.
Now, you have successfully, you know, worked with contractors one-on-one, and you've had dramatic results with when you get in there and work with their comfort advisors and their technicians. In fact, here in Texas,
correct,
you worked with a contractor. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so when I started there, one of the things that I noticed as a, you know, that they were doing was what I call selling pieces.
Mm-hmm.
You know, summertime, we sell an air conditioner or maybe, you know, a condenser and coil. And then in the wintertime, we sell furnaces, you know. And so we really worked on that with them about, like, let's start representing all their options. Mm-hmm. And one of their namestays, they were a Daikin Pro dealer. And, you know, so they offered the fit system. Well, initially, there was a little resistance because the techs just weren't familiar with it, you know. Yeah. And once they started understanding that we have to offer all systems and they started explaining how this thing worked to the homeowners, it became a natural reaction with the customers. So we went from a 20% install rate with the fit system the year prior. The year later, we were over 60%. And we grew the business from $22 million to $27 million in 1 year with a 22% profit rate.
Just by changing the efficiency mix with the equipment that they had.
Correct. And then the technicians got on board. And, you know, and I kind of learned back then that the sizing and airflow was becoming a determiner just through our own experience there, you know,
right.
Installing a system and then getting the callbacks and, you know, I just don't understand, you know, and it was just like, we did the traditional stuff. Oh, just put a dump zone in there, you know, do that, add a return, you know? So we tried all these things and we were getting the same results. And then we just realized, oh, it's not so much that, you know, we have to adjust the airflow accordingly. So it maps out to the capacity. And, once we started figuring that out, then it became mandatory for the salespeople to do heat loads and duct designs on the jobs.
Just recently, you were also up in Canada working with some contractors,
mm-hmm.
and you told me that, you know, it was interesting. One of the people in the class actually stood up because you were talking
kind of bailed me out.
Yeah. But regionally, there's some challenges as we look at airflow, right?
Yeah. So in that region, the typical install is a basement design with an upflow system in the basement. Obviously, they're more heat centered versus right. AC centered. And it goes into basically what I call a vertical trunk line or mm-hmm. a horizontal trunk line. Just one trunk going down to the side of the house, this trunk going down the other side. And then the ducts just feed right off of there, you know, one by one. And so they were telling me that everything is basically 5-inch duct.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of designed for heating. And so I'm trying to explain to them about airflow for air conditioning, because that's what we need to size the equipment for when you have air conditioning. And it kind of created a little turmoil. And then so thankfully, Rod was his name, stood up and he was like, hey, you guys, look, what are we being promoted to do? And they're really in Canada, they're really promoting, you know, getting off away from gas and going to the heat pump model. And he's like, so what is a heat pump? And then they all kind of like bowed their head, you know, like, well, yeah, it's an air conditioner, you know? And, and so he's like, do you understand what Matt's saying here? If we're having and getting regulated to install heat pumps, we're going to have to take into consideration the air conditioning side, which takes more airflow. And then what are we going to do? You know? And so I was trying to teach them is like, just because you have to rip out all the sheetrock in the house doesn't mean a homeowner may or may not want to do that, you know? So, but that's kind of what it turns into, you know, the projects yeah. multiply. So, but yeah, I mean, that's going to be interesting change for them.
So regionally, each region is going to have its own unique challenges, and there's going to be, there's a lot of different utility incentives that are actually driving this whole entire electrification trend
yeah.
moving to heat pumps. So it's not just Canada. I think last time I checked in the U.S., there's over 2,700 different utility rebate programs
sure.
that are in some way, you know, incentivizing this move towards electrification and towards, you know, inverter type heat pump yeah. systems.
And even some areas all electric, you
yeah.
know, I mean, and that was something that they were dealing with the transition up there. I mean, they were being able to offer, it was either $6,500 or $8,500 off to go to this heat pump model up there. And I guess they ran out of funds, so now they're all in a panic, you know? And so that's why they were in the sales class, because they kind of learned how to sell again, because it was kind of like, well, here's your two options, and here you go. I know on the West Coast, they're offering some very similar incentive programs for doing these kinds of transitions as part of that as well.
So the application side, sizing, equipment selection is important. The ductwork is really important, and even the grills and registers is important. So that's all covered in the application side of things.
Right.
But then there's the sales side of things. And
right.
so you're talking about, you know, communicating with homeowners. And again, you started out as a technician. And I think obviously you were successful because they promoted you very, very quickly
yeah.
Within the organization. What were some of the things maybe back then that you did, and how have things changed that you've seen from back then to today, or how have they stayed the same?
Well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, being in the trade for 2.5 decades, I feel like everyone's tried to rewrite the script. You know, this is the best way to do sales. This is the best way to do this and do that. And we've kind of tried them all, you know. And point being is that there's one thing that I've found that hasn't changed, and that's the customer. Mm. They are still looking for licensed, certified contractors. They still want that exceptional service and be able to trust and rely on that contractor. And so the sales approach for me hasn't changed at all. At least my approach, you know, and it's always been kind of driven, not kind of, it's always been driven by 100% customer satisfaction, right? So I go there and deliver on all the needs that they are expressing and provide as much value in my company, my services that I can do while I'm there. And then hopefully we move forward from that point. They're still looking for that. And so I feel like our trade has, as a whole, has kind of focusing more on just getting that sale versus what gets you to the sale. You know, kind of more sales weighted type of philosophy versus, well, if you do the right thing at the standing at the door and walking through with the homeowner and spending your time with them and building a relationship, you'll get just as many sales, but it'll be done in a much more constructive way.
You know, that makes a lot of sense. I think relationship, that trust piece, right, is really the foundation of any transaction that you're going to have with with a consumer. You know, what's interesting, I think a lot of people mistake that trust. They almost have like a bias. And so you always have that shoemaker's children type syndrome, if you will, right? I know so many selling techs, they know how to fix their own systems. So do they typically have the newest system in their home?
No.
They have a system that they've been able to limp along and keep it working and keep it running and going. And so some technicians go into the consumer's hat and feel almost like they're protecting the consumer by saying, hey, we can fix this. We can get another year out of it for you. Others will not want to necessarily offer the most efficient system out there because I got to protect the customer. I got to help save them money off of the cost of the install. And when they start doing this, bring their own bias into it, they actually don't give the customer any choices. They don't let the customer make a decision based on their own convictions. It's a decision based off of that technician's convictions.
Yeah, that is something I actually train to, particularly when I work with technicians, and we call it projection. Guys have a really hard time understanding when I say that word because they want to think of like project your voice, you know, type of thing. No, and I said, it's kind of like that, but you're projecting your value system and your thoughts and opinions onto the homeowner as if they were yours. And so like it's exactly what you're speaking to. So if I can fix it and I can save money, we also talk about, you know, just most technicians typically live paycheck to paycheck, and I think it's a lot of people, not just technicians, but I don't have the money to spend $10,000 or $20,000 to buy a new system or upgrade, so therefore I assume they don't either. And so if it were me, I would just do the condenser, or like you were saying, the minimal approach to, because I think that's what they feel. And I've had some hard-nosed technicians fight me on that, you know, like, no, I'll fix that thing till whatever. It's like, okay, well then prove me wrong. You know, just the next time you're in that situation, just offer all the solutions from the repair. If it's 20-year-old system and it's a repair option versus new equipment, start and give them the basic all the way to the top and see what happens. And, not too long ago, I had a guy actually take me up on that offer, and I had done some training there a number of times. And about the third time I was there, he pulled me aside and he said, "You were right." Should I whisper that? "You were right."
Yeah.
I said, "What do you mean?" He goes, "Well, I just did what you said. I started offering that out." Now, mind you, he had only turned like 6 to 8 leads in the entire year, and this one particular month, he turned 6 to 8 leads that month. And I think he said they all sold. And I asked him, "How is your paycheck?" And he goes, "I kind of like your way of doing things." Because, of course, he was rewarded for that effort, you know.
Sure, sure.
So, but Yeah, we see that kind of stuff all the time. And I saw that with the company we were speaking about in Texas. It was the same kind of attitude there. And so it took a lot of consistency in talking with the guys, because they were primarily selling technicians, and just getting them to just offer it, just give it, the, you know, show. And then that's, I think, what took the like I said, they were a fit company. And so once they started seeing the results of the putting in the fit systems,
yeah.
And what I mean by results is the what the homeowners, how they were responding to it,
mm-hmm.
when it was all said and done. So,
you know, it's also been really interesting to me. I've talked to a lot of technicians. One of the features that comes with every Daikin fit, and it's available through our Amana S and even our Goodman SD product, is access to our Daikin cloud services.
Right.
And I keep hearing, again, technicians projecting, well, the homeowner doesn't want Big Brother watching over them.
Yeah.
And
well, you know, it's funny about that because, you know, Southeast Texas, they're kind of good old boys. So I get, yeah. you know, I get where you're coming from there. But it wasn't till some of the techs installed the systems in their own homes. Next thing you know, they're like, hey, dude, check this out. Like, he goes, you know what my temperature is in my house right now? And he's like, watch this. Look at my wife just got home. I'm going to turn that down for her, or whatever, you know? And he could watch and he could monitor what his system was doing. And he knew exactly everything that was going on with it. And so it's funny how it's just knowledge, right? I always tell people, like, you only know what you know.
Right.
You know? And so when you learn something new or you see the value of something, then it becomes real to you. And then it's easier to share that to the next.
I think everybody's noticed that prices have gone up on just about everything over the last couple of years. And so when you look at that, I've always said, you know, one of the biggest challenges in the HVAC industry is affordability. Very few homeowners actually plan on replacing their HVAC system.
Right. Almost none.
Everybody just, it's magic that my home is comfortable until it's not. And then when it's not, it's an all out panic that we got to do something. But, I was talking to several of the different financing institutions that we work with, and the national average right now for HVAC contractors that are offering financing is less than 30%.
Mm-hmm.
And you think it, you just mentioned some prices where a system may be from 10 to 20, sometimes even more than $20,000. Not many people have an extra $20,000 just laying around that they want to give to an HVAC system. And so how do you help technicians just get comfortable talking about financing? Because everybody says, well, I don't want to pry. What if the customer gets turned down? You know, there's always all these what if scenarios. So therefore, I'm not going to do anything.
Well, that's come a long way.
Yeah.
You know, just the whole process for that. I can remember when I was in sales 20 years ago, they would agree. And they would want to do a financing program. You're like, okay, this is great. Then you had them fill out 7 pages of information. And back then, we didn't have anything digital. I mean, I'm going to age myself. And the way I took pictures on my calls was with a Polaroid camera.
Right.
Yeah. And so we would take that form back and fax it to the company. And then we'd wait 2 to 3 days. And it was awful when they got denied, you know, or declined. So obviously, things have become much more simple. You know, most of these companies have an app, and you get set up on the app, and then you're literally just turn over your tablet to the homeowner and let them fill out the information, so you don't have to ask those intrusive questions.
Right.
And then, you know, within seconds, typically, or, you know, a couple minutes. But same thing with financing, right? You mentioned 30% don't, you know, only up to 30% of the contractors use it. It's no different than learning how to do a heat load, right?
Right.
It's intimidating at first. Because you don't know or completely understand. But once you do 4, 5, or 6 of them, then that's not so bad, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that's where guys get hung up on that. You know, they it's scary. They don't like to do financing themselves. Once again, projection, you know, they don't like to go into places and get credit cards or whatever. And so they just don't offer it.
Mm.
And it's very similar to a lot of things in indoor air quality. You know, it's a science. Work scientifically. It's in the air. You can't see it. You just have to assume these things are happening until you teach guys of what's actually happening in the air when we put these products and, you know, cleaning the air and doing things like that. And then once it makes sense to them, then, oh, now I feel comfortable offering it. But
yeah,
anything in sales, right? You're not going to offer if you don't know any about it. Like, how do you sell a product that you don't understand? You know, it's very challenging. And I think that's where we are with the financing world. Even though we're around it all the time, and that's what drives me crazy. You know, you have no problem going into Apple and getting a new phone and just like, yeah, we'll pay the $30 a month, you know, no big deal, you know, and it's like done, you know, but asking somebody else to do that to pay, you know, for a new system is challenging.
I mean, it's interesting. I think you hit the nail right on the head because you said they don't do it when they go into a retail setting. You know, every time you check out at Best Buy or at Kohl's or Target, wherever you may go, they ask, oh, do you have one of our credit cards? And I think the programmed response for most people is, no, I don't need any more credit cards.
Yeah.
Well, I'll even give you a 50% off of today's order if you sign up for our credit card. No, thank you. Yeah. I'll pay the extra 50%.
Right.
And so they feel from that retail standpoint versus the iPhone scenario that you just laid out, people do it without even thinking out, without a second thought.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's so much opportunity there. And if we want to look at the sales vein, you know, getting our people that are doing sales to do all the right things and to build the value. And I mean, the sales will come, you know, just to give you an example with that company in Texas, we had transitioned a guy from a selling technician into a comfort advisor role. He was 20 years experience, you know, he's been an install, kind of done it all. And he had sold about 900,000 as a selling tech. I mean, nothing to shake a can at. I mean, it was pretty good, solid year for him. And now he's got to do heat loads and duct designs and all this, right? And so, you know, I can't share the full conversation we had, but, you know, after I had ridden with him and hand trained him, so to speak, after about 5 or 6 weeks, he said, you know, when you first started making me do this stuff, I was kind of, I'll just say he was kind of pissed off at me. Mm-hmm. Okay, if I can say that. And I said, well, why? He says, because I don't think I need to be doing this stuff. You know, I know what I'm doing. I said, okay, fine. I said, but it's more than that, right? I mean, we have to do this because of the technology you're offering first off. So you understand that, right? And he's like, yeah. I said, but you're also, it's a whole thing for the homeowner to learn and understand as well. Well, long story short, he sold $3.3 million last year.
Hmm.
And then he told me after a number of months when I checked in with him, he said, now I cannot not. That was his response because he's seen the effect of it.
Well, I think you lead to something so important for all of the Goodman, Amana, Daikin dealers. We've laid out a process. Now, it doesn't mean that we're going to give you a canned script and say, okay, memorize this and just go do this on every call. What a process does is it gives you kind of this freedom within a framework that you have. And so you talked about the very first part of our process, the TAPT process, which is building trust.
Right.
The next part, we talked about that. We have A, but we say squared, because now you're assessing two things. Number one, you're assessing the engineering requirements of the building. So that's the heating, cool, the ductwork, looking at the system selection. That's all that stuff done. But you're also assessing the customer's needs.
Right.
Instead of projecting, I'm going to listen to what you have to say.
Yeah.
And make sure that we understand what they have. So we do the A squared part of it. Then we get into the P's. So I got to present two things. I got to present the brands that I'm affiliated, what I'm selling, and then I got to present my company.
Mm-hmm.
Why is my company a great company to do business with? And we walk through that. And then we get into the E, we engineer, we design the system. And then finally, it's decision time. And really, if you follow that process, you can have some freedom in there. That's what it is the customer's just making a decision.
Yeah. And I mean, that's, you know, anytime I do sales training, the biggest thing is, you know, they want to wait. You know, like, how do you overcome objections?
Yeah.
And I'm like, you should have to overcome objections. Right. You know, if you do your process properly, you're not going to need to worry about those. I mean, the one objection no one can overcome is price. And that's where I want to get them to. I want to find out what their price is and then see if we can accommodate that, you know. But yeah, and so many guys are just quick to jump. And I always try to explain in trainings, like, we got to break the mold. This is what every other guy that you're competing against is doing. He's walking in, maybe having a short conversation with the homeowner. He goes and sizes up the unit and he comes back and gives them pricing. They're in and out of there in 20, 30 minutes at best. I'm going to spend 2 hours there. Mm. You know, one of my nuggets that I teach in all sales is what I call the sales formula. I don't even know if you've ever heard the sales formula. Oh, you got really intrigued right there.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's only two things that are necessary for any sale to take place. And I always say this, whether it's a pack of gum or you're buying a home. One is there has to be a need. And this is not something that we can put onto the homeowner. And there's two kinds of needs. There's a direct need. You know, something's broken. We got to get that fixed. And we see that all the time. But then there's what we call a perceived need. And what is that? Well, that's something that the homeowner brings to your attention through proper questioning. For example, if I were to say, you know, hey, what don't you like about your current system as we walk into the home? And they say, well, it makes a noise, or I wish it was on the when it wasn't in the backyard. You know, it creates these additional things in the call. And then the other half of the equation is value, right? You're not going to spend a dime unless you see value in what you're spending the money on. And so if you look at it like a balancing, like back in school where we're doing weights and measures, you know, and you have your scale and you put, you know, one gram on there and you see how many rocks it takes to fill, you know, to balance it. And then you got 1 gram. And once that scale balances, that's the formula. The need has to equal the value in order to equal a sale. Mm. And many people don't understand that scale. They think it's like, oh, need plus value. No, because if you don't have, if you just add a little value and it's a strong need, you're never going to get the sale.
Right.
It just won't happen. And I've yet to find somebody argue me different that, you know, and this is where it takes that, where we started the conversation of my projection of my value system takes that away, because it's your value system that determines this at this point. I don't know what that is. So I'm going to build a heck of a lot of value, you know, on my call, just in hoping that that happens. And, you know, typically when guys call me and say, hey, I'm struggling or whatever, and we'll walk through some of their calls, and it's usually somewhere in there that it's like, you see what you did there, or the value you didn't deliver enough value here. And so that's my big nugget. I have a little more fun explaining it to it, but I can't say it all on the air.
Well, no, I really appreciate this has been just a really great time. Thank you so much, Matt,
for having me here
and spending this time with us. Do you have any last words of wisdom or thoughts for maybe somebody that's a newer selling tech or newer comfort advisor out there that may be listening to this? What you just gave us a great nugget, but is there any other words of wisdom that you'd like to share?
I think a lot of what I teach with technicians and salespeople is that you're giving these opportunities every day. And it's one of the rarities in our field that you're given a lead or you're given a service call to run or whatever the case may be. But take an attitude like that truck you're given or that vehicle and that resource you've been given to go out and try to earn a living on is act like it was your own business. Mm. How differently would you respond? You know, I talk to techs about their appearance a lot because they can get dirty and wrangled, you know?
Sure.
And I said, you know, if this was your company and your business, is that how you want to show up to the door? You know, is that how you want to play the game? Or, you know, if you just did that little simple wire repair, you just do it for free because it took you 2 seconds that you saw the two wires disconnected, or is the training and the value of your expertise worth even $25, you know, whatever the case may be. I think you would do things a little bit differently. So if you took that approach, then every call would matter to you. And I think that's where guys get that consistency and the focus let down. Like, oh, I got another call. I got another call. I got another call. But if everyone, that was your company, every call would matter. And you would coddle that call as best as you possibly could for the most potential outcome.
Be present in the moment.
That's correct.
Matthew, thank you so much. For all of you that are out there, if you liked this episode, please go ahead and hit that like button. Also, make sure that you hit the follow button so you can be reminded of all of the upcoming episodes that we have. Thank you so much, and we'll see you on the next episode.